Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 12th of July, recording at 9:43 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quietly steady. The exception was Japan, which was down a fraction. The European stock markets were quietly steady, with the exception of Spain, which is again down a small amount. In the Americas, Wall Street closed with very modest gains. That was towards the higher side of the day's range. It was sort of in and out of the plus and minus columns during most of the day. And the other Americas markets shown here were a little bit weaker. That's Canada, Mexico, and Brazil. But again, small percentages. Long-dated government bond prices were a bit firmer for much of the day, but then faded as the day went on. Bunds, which closed a little earlier, had been up, had retained some gains, though, on the day. In terms of the U.S. dollar, it's steadier in here today, but the gains have been pegged back, so it's slightly firmer against the euro and sterling and the Australian dollar. Now, gold was weaker here today. It's currently at 1201, and that's down over $10. And platinum, palladium, silver, they all declined. Modest declines overall, but and still ranging. The industrial metals were slightly lower today, as were most of the agricultural commodities, although sugar was an exception, and that closing with some gains today. And crude oil slipped back to 74.84. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, following the good gains that we saw last week in stock markets, which included some upward dynamics for the markets with large short positions that started with Japan Monday a week ago and spread to the European markets and then to Wall Street with a delayed reaction participating in the rally. A tiny bit on Tuesday and a little bit and much more on Wednesday and subsequently. So those gains invited a wee bit of profit taking today, as we saw on Friday, but with markets closing steadier overall. And that suggests that the pressure on shorts to cover is still greater than the new selling that's taking place. And we're probably also getting some bargain hunting in there, as well as valuations are generally quite favorable overall. Now, a one-week rally does not offset the bearish patterns that we have seen in the Western stock markets. Sorry about the scratchy throat. So to say, a one-week rally doesn't offset the earlier technical damage, which really commenced with the big sell-off in April. But I should also point out that we have had a very steady performance by the smaller Asian markets. That's really everything but China in the Asian markets has done quite well, and the South American markets have done quite well also. Now, I should mention that I get a lot of emails coming in talking about, well, this is a deflationary environment and we aren't going to have any growth for ages. And of course, all those emails are coming from the West. Now, in the East, and I have one today, well, really the subcontinent, Asia-Pacific region, saying, talking about the inflation pressures. So the economies with a decent growth rate, and that's outside the OECD countries, the emerging markets, although some of them are highly developed, so the terminology is totally inadequate. You don't get much more highly developed than Singapore and Korea these days. But the countries with decent growth rates are experiencing inflation problems. Those tend to go hand in hand with stronger growth rates. In other words, that does cause inflationary pressures to push higher, particularly when there had been the highly stimulative monetary measures taken in response to the collapse in stock market collapse in 2008. And then those same countries are also keeping short-term interest rates a bit lower than would otherwise be the case because they are concerned about the slow growth and deflationary pressures in the West. And they also don't want their currencies to soar. I've said for years that no country wants a strong currency in this environment, particularly in this environment. I should add. So the important thing for global investors to state what should be obvious is don't view the world through the prism of your own country's economic policies or problems. Or successes, because they can be very different and very different elsewhere. Now, personally, I would much rather be investing in the areas that have got the growth, which is also strong in corporate profits. Fortunately, investors in the OECD countries, most of them at any rate, have also seen some quite decent corporate profits. Not least in the USA, where companies moved quickly and decisively to lower overheads. But the trouble is there are limits to the extent to which they can create productivity increases, particularly by laying off labor. They've already cut back quite significantly, and they could benefit from the stronger growth. Well, that's going to take time. And meanwhile, we have some clear evidence of slowing growth in the USA, just as we have in continental Europe. That will keep short-term interest rates low, and that will keep monetary conditions generally accommodative. And those low interest rates may well cause further strength in the faster growth economies that we see in Asia and some other parts of the world. So, what about the extent to which this rally is likely to persist? Well, I personally like to take it a day at a time. We would need to see some clear downward dynamics to indicate that it is over for at least the short term. We have not seen that at all yet. We would need to see the recent lows taken out. Those would be the early July lows taken out to reinstate the overall downward trends. Consequent, or conversely rather, each additional push to the upside provides a little bit more breathing space between those early July lows and current levels, and makes inroads on overhead trading, which is positive, indicating very much that the bulls are still in business. My feeling is that the big question is whether or not we get more volatility and a bit more selling pressure between now and, say, the fourth quarter of this year. before moving into more favorable seasonal factors and what I think will be a stronger environment generally overall. I've said before that I'm an agnostic on this point as to whether or not we dip a little lower first before going higher. I'm not terribly worried about that downside risk. Easier to say today, when it's not when one's not staring at a clear deterioration. But I'm reasonably relaxed about it because I think that valuations remain favorable. Yes, valuations can always be somewhat more attractive, but they certainly aren't bad today. And where the growth is actually occurring, they're improving on a daily basis. Now, China, I think, has some of the most attractive valuations overall. The problem has been one of supply. And we can't be sure. Well, I know we're not entirely out of the woods in terms of supply, but I think that the valuations are the more important story here going forward from today's current levels. And so I think China is extremely attractive for those who don't mind taking a longer term view and buying at comparatively depressed levels without any certain knowledge as to how long a bottoming out support building process is going to take before we get the next sustainable uptrend. It could be sooner, it could be later. I don't know. No one knows. But this is an attractive level today. That's the point I want to hammer home. And far better to buy these things, if you share my view on the fuller money themes, far better to buy them when they're out of favor. They tend to bounce back quite quickly, as we saw following the well, as we saw during the bull run commencing in 2003. Took China longer, took China a couple of years more to get going, again due to supply problems. But we saw China bounce back very quickly following the 2008 fourth quarter and first quarter of 2009 and blowouts. China was a leader on the upside, so more often than not, it is going to snap back quickly. So the firmer stock markets are, the more likely we are to see people drifting away from this long-dated government bond market, and the yields here are unrealistic, unless you think that we're going to see the depression that some people are talking about. And in terms of currencies, well, I don't like the dollar that much. It's been a very fashionable haven currency, but once the urgency to have a purely haven position passes, then people look at some of the problems in terms of what they're holding. You have some leading political economic figures in the U.S. describing the current debt as a cancer. And it's actually worse than a cancer because, as Owen pointed out when we were discussing this morning, most cancers can be removed surgically. This deficit problem is going to be around a good deal longer overall, and the U.S. has done less to rein it in than the European economies recently. So the dollar does not have any appeal except that knee-jerk haven response during periods of market panic, and that's not terribly reassuring for me. So I think what we will see and are seeing is a gradual firming of the resources currencies and the stronger growth currencies. But as I said on Friday in my big picture audio, don't be surprised if we get mostly ranging activity for at least the short and probably medium term in these currencies. I think we're unlikely to see fewer big moves unless Japan gets its monetary act together and lowers its yen, which it very much needs to do. Something I've often mentioned in these broadcasts. In terms of gold and commodity markets, well, I think most of the commodity markets will, industrial commodity markets will follow stock markets. For instance, copper would benefit from a further recovery by China. Gold, again, that's a haven. Now, people are buying it for more reasons than that, obviously, and have been over the last decade. But there has been some short-term haven buying in that gold market over the last many months. And as fear subsides, it's not surprising that some of that money comes out of bullion and perhaps looks elsewhere. Generally, as confidence improves, we can expect the commodities to be firming along with stock markets for the most part. And gold bullion, again, I maintain my cautious view, which has been in place ever since we saw the first of those two downside key day reversals last month. My cautious short-term view remains. My bullish medium to longer term view also remains, the latter being more important, of course. And I think that's pretty much a wrap here today. Steady stock markets, albeit quietly so. On that note, all the very best to all of you.